Val. Written by Sky Pirate B. Read by Opal Song. Fandom, Brink. Rating, Mature. Relationship, Brink, Val. Also tagged for Future Fic. Rivals to question mark? Sex Dreams. Sopping Wet Fail Cat Val. Golden Retriever Brink. Internalized Homophobia. Drug Use. Slurs. The 2008 Financial Crisis. Job Search. 2008. Period appropriate use of language. For real, if I get comments because you took 4D4 psychic damage from seeing the word Uber in 2020X, that's on you. Niche SoCal references. That feeling when you get to your 20s and you look up and not one person in the room with you is straight. You wanna fuck me so bad it makes you look stupid. A rival is a crush you're mad about having. And Brink Brank Bronk. Chapter 1. Val only gets out of bed because of Taxi. She jumps up and sticks her front paws directly on his bladder, snuffling at the covers where his head should be. Groaning and cursing, Val wiggles free. Taxi! She yelps happily. Can't I sleep in one time? God! But the damage is done. How a dog worked out human bladders is beyond him, but Val will swear before a judge that's what she's done. He rolls out of bed. Was this Mom's idea? He demands. Did she put you up to this? The only reply he gets is the furious thumping of Taxi's tail on the floor. Val sighs. All right, fine. He stands, arching his back until his vision briefly blacks out. You're not watching me piss, though. In less than 10 minutes, they're out on the sidewalk, squinting in the sun. Val lights a cigarette. It's barely 9 o'clock. What time did he go to bed? He remembers thinking he should, not long after his mom turned in. But at that point, the idea of standing up and climbing the stairs and brushing his teeth and getting changed had all been so completely overwhelming that he just jumped into one more Halo match. Which became 3 more, which became 7 more, and suddenly it was well past midnight and he could barely keep his eyes open. A dull headache is knocking on the back of his eyeballs. Val would shank an infant for a decent coffee. It's not like he's got the money to burn, but he's been drinking instant all week and it leaves him foggy again by lunchtime. There's a cafe within walking distance, if he's remembering correctly, and it would be nice to have an actual answer when Mom asks if he left the house today. Taxi tugs on the leash. Val looks down into her giant, chocolatey anime eyes. Shit, when was the last time she got a proper walk? They have a backyard he's been running her around in, but that's kind of cheating. God, fuck, why does he keep screwing up? All right, girl, he says. You want to go walk? The cafe is right where he remembers it. Looks better than last time, too. Must have had a new lick of paint. Val peers in the windows and sees that it's heaving with mom friends and college kids and even a couple of suits. He ties Taxi up next to a large water bowl and slips inside. His whole just-rolled-out-of-bed 3-day-old t-shirt look is definitely not it, but he'll feel like a dick if he immediately backs out of the door. Despite the packed seating, there's only a couple of people ahead of him at the cashier. He pulls out his phone and pretends like he's busy. It's just, the days are already starting to dissolve into a gooey temporal quagmire. He only knows that it's been 2 weeks because Mom mentioned it yesterday. Yesterday. God, how has it only been 2 weeks? This functioning before lunchtime cafe world is already alien to him. He takes a deep breath, works his jaw. This is not his fault. The wonks on TV are calling it a generation-defining recession. He's not the only one out of work, and he's a hell of a lot better off than the poor bastards who have lost their homes. Mom isn't even charging him rent. She insisted, and Val didn't argue as vehemently as he could have. What can I get you today? Val looks up from his phone. His eyes meet the barista's, and his mind besods. The barista stares back at him, equally stunned. Finally, the guy picks his jaw back up off the floor and says, Val? Val Horrigan? Fuck, 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 fuck. Fuck! Dude! The barista flashes a 120-watt smile, like he's actually pleased to see Val. How the hell are you? Val closes his mouth and swallows. He glances at the barista's name tag and confirms that this is his literal nightmare. It says, in all caps, BRINK! Who puts an exclamation point on their own name tag? He says. Brink laughs. It's good, right? Was your goal to confirm that you're still the biggest dork on this side of Chino? Val spits. Yeah, man, just like you right now, proving you're still the biggest asshole this side of Hollywood. Brink grins. Anyway, what can I get you? There's a hot, prickling feeling that's consuming him. Val wants to claw his own skin off. Triple shot espresso, he says. No worries. Brink rings up his order. You back in town? Never left, Val says tightly. I've been living downtown. Sick. There's no one waiting behind Val, so Brink slides over to the espresso machine and starts throwing together his order. Hey, you heard from Boomer lately?
No.
Val doesn't keep up with anyone from high school.
Dude, you should look him up. He's like an actor now. He has this sweet gig.
Brink talks the entire time he's making the coffee. Long enough that Val is regretting every decision in his life that has led up to this exact moment. When Brink finally offers him the takeout cup, Val snatches it off him.
Thanks, he chokes out.
Aw, yeah, man, no problem. Brink's eyes are literally sparkling. God, this guy is the worst. See you around, maybe? Val gives him a non-committal grunt and, well, he doesn't flee. He's not a wuss. He's only speedwalking to the door because Taxi's spotted him and is thumping her tail excitedly. What the fuck is Brink playing at being so nice to him? Has he totally forgotten that they were enemies? That Brink is the reason Val had to quit skating? How fucking dense can you get? He's never going back to that stupid coffee shop as long as he lives. Taxi whines. It snaps Val's attention away from Brink. He kneels beside her.
You're a good girl, he says.
She perks up at the sound of his voice and licks his cheek.
God, Val would kill for her.
They leave the mini mall, Val frowning at the takeout cup in his hand.
Is there a chance Brink, like, did something to it?
Val wasn't super paying attention, so it's totally possible Brink spat in it, right? That's what he would have done. He takes a cautious sip. He nearly slam dunks the cup into the sidewalk, except
Fuck. It's been like 3 damn weeks since he's had a decent coffee. And this coffee isn't just decent. It's really fucking good. It's smooth and thick and flavorful and absolutely what angel jizz would taste like. You know, if angels existed and did that sort of thing. The cup is empty before he gets home. He stands at the door, fumbling for his keys, head thrown back as he greedily laps at the final drops. Once inside, he throws the takeout cup into the kitchen trash, fuming. He has to go back. The next day, Val is prepared. He's got a baseball cap pulled down over his forehead and sunglasses that obscure half his face. Before he goes inside, he peers in through the glass door. Brink is not behind the counter. Good! He saunters into the cafe, hands stuffed deep in the pockets of his jacket, and slides into line. There are only a few people ahead of him. A tall woman speaking rapid Spanish into her phone. A boho chick gazing at the display donuts. 2 male college students with jeans so tight they look painted on. But the only thing Val really cares about is that the guy behind the register is the opposite of Brink in basically every way. Short, dark-haired, bespectacled. Looks like he would never dream of putting an exclamation mark on his own name tag. Val's phone buzzes. It's a text from his mom asking if he's out of bed yet. He writes and deletes several increasingly sarcastic replies before sending.
Yeah, getting coffee.
Morning, Val. How can I help? His head snaps up. What the hell? Where did you come from? He demands. Brink smiles at him. I work here, remember? He says. You saw me yesterday? No, dumbass. Val says. There was another guy here, an Asian guy. Yeah, man, it's Eric's turn for a break. How can Brink be so normal about this? Anyway, what are we getting you today?
Triple shot, Val grumbles.
Right on. Brink rings up the order, and as Val is fussing with his wallet, he says, So what's with the shades?
Val grinds his teeth, wishing he had a cigarette.
It's a look. He shoves the cash into Brink's hands. Tight, Brink says. You look like a dork. Here's your change. The blow is so unexpected, it takes minutes for Val to recover. He stands by the pickup counter, glaring at Brink as he continues to take customer orders. If there was any justice in the world, Val would be able to explode Brink's head by shooting hate lasers from his eyes. Just pop it like an overripe melon.
Sir?
What? Val snaps. The young woman holds out a cup towards him cautiously.
Triple espresso?
He snatches it from her. She flinches, her eyebrows shooting up. Val kicks himself.
Thanks,
he says, and scurries outside. Taxi whines softly when she sees him. He takes a deep breath, then kneels to untie her. She licks his face. Val's heart squeezes, and he wraps an arm around her.
Love you, girl.
Once they're out of sight of the cafe, Val sips the coffee. It's a crushing disappointment. It's not hot enough, and there's an aftertaste of burnt beans. Nothing like the heavenly brew from yesterday. Dread creeps up on him. He thinks he knows the problem. He hopes he's wrong. It could have just been a bad batch of grounds. Or maybe the barista was busy and she didn't wait for the water to be exactly right. It could be a fluke. Maybe. Hopefully. He goes back every morning that week. Brink makes none of the coffees, and every one of them is worse than the first. With each subpar cup, the dread grows. There's no way he can ask for a specific person to make his coffee. Well, he totally can. It's the kind of bullshit he would have pulled without a second thought 6 months ago. But 6 months ago, the person making the best coffee he's ever tasted wasn't his arch nemesis. Talk about the universe kicking him while he's down. Brink has always pissed him off. It's not only because he's always so damn chipper and unflappable. For Val, looking at Brink is like looking into the world's most sadistic mirror. One that reflects back the ideal version of yourself that everyone secretly wishes you were. Val knows he's a shithead, but that's never mattered as long as Brink isn't around. When he is there, Val can feel everyone looking at the two of them, comparing their successes and personalities and looks, and putting Val firmly in second place on every count. The idea of asking Brink to brew him a coffee makes him want to throw himself into freeway traffic. Bossing Brink around has always appealed. Nothing like watching your rival crawl around following your orders. But this feels different. Like asking for a favor. Like admitting that Brink did something right. God, this is so fucking stupid. It's a coffee. How low has he sunk that a cup of coffee is the highlight of his week? High school was 10 years ago. 10 years! He needs to get the fuck over himself. What the hell is he being such a wuss about? It's not like Brink can get him kicked off Team X-Blades a second time. Can't get kicked off a team that doesn't even exist anymore. Right. He's gonna do it. He's gonna man the hell up and ask, no. Tell Brink to make him a coffee, and Brink's gonna do it because it's his job, so he has to. All right, Brinker, Val says, slapping his hands on the cafe counter. Here's what's gonna happen. Good morning, Brink. Brink says, his voice a rough mimic of Val's. How are you? Great, thanks, Val. What can I get for you today? The usual? Val sneers. Q. He leans forward. I want a triple shot espresso to go, and I want you to make it. Aww, Brink smirks at him. Sounds like someone's got a coffee crush on me. Val rolls his eyes. Just do it. Don't worry, man. I got you. Brink rings up the order and turns to the young woman with blue hair and a septum piercing behind the espresso machine. Hey, Sky, swap out with me a sec. Val stalks along to the pickup counter, eyes locked on Brink. You know, most people just chill out while they wait for their order, Brink says. Making coffee isn't really a spectator sport. You got a problem with me watching you? Val says. You planning on putting something in my drink you don't want me to see? Nah, just figure someone as high-strung as you should take every chance they can to relax. Pfft, whatever. Val raises an eyebrow. Sounds like you want to deflect from your own performance anxiety. He leans over the counter. It's not super effective, with a large espresso machine in his way. You scared of me, Brink? Brink laughs. Man, I've never been afraid of you. Besides... He looks up at Val, smirking. It's hard to be scared of someone with a coffee crush on you. If that's what you want to think, go ahead. Val smirks right back. Truth is, I'm getting a real kick out of knowing that if you mess this up, I could get you fired. You can certainly try, Brink says brightly. Shift managers are harder to replace, though. Whatever. I could do your job in my sleep. Yeah? We do need a dishwasher. Brink looks at him thoughtfully. I could get you an in. Val laughs. As if I need it. Brink smiles. Where is it you're working again? Val hesitates for a fraction of a second. Marketing and promotion with Team Carnage. Ooh, fancy businessman. I should have guessed. Brink pops the lid onto the takeaway cup. Here you go. Val relaxes slightly. He didn't catch the lie. Finally, he mutters, and takes the cup from Brink, and sips. It's perfect.
Any good? Brink asks slyly.
Shh.
Val flips his hair dismissively. Barely.
It's nothing like a compliment, but Brink looks smug about it anyway.
Team Carnage, huh? He flips a dish towel over his shoulder.
That same Team Carnage I saw about on Skate News Online the other day? The one that went bust?
Val's jaw clenches. You can't believe everything you read on the internet.
He turns on his heel and storms out of the cafe before Brink can get another word in.
Honestly, Val wasn't even surprised when Team Carnage folded. As a kid, it would have been unthinkable. Absolutely everyone he knew skated, and they were all as fanatic about it as Val had been. Some people stopped once they hit puberty, but that didn't really matter. There were still enough people skating at a high enough level to sustain regional and national competitions, to justify pro teams that let the truly passionate dedicate every breath they had to the sport they loved. But it's not the 90s anymore. Skateboarding cracked the mainstream, but inline skating still lives and dies by trend cycles. Most of Val's job at Carnage the last 18 months had been scrambling to keep them afloat by convincing sponsors that aggressive inline is a sport worth investing in, and the skating world is utterly minuscule, even in Southern California, despite slick branding and athletes that were rock stars to those in the know. Every pro team Val knew had been hemorrhaging money just treading water. ESPN dropping them from the US X Games had been the real death blow. A lot of teams had disbanded at that point, or been bought out and folded into pro boarding teams. Carnage had been large enough and lucky enough that they were able to limp along for a couple more years, but they weren't good years. The writing was on the wall. By the time the execs finally called time, all Val felt was relief. So it feels stupid to call the yawning pit in his chest grief. Mom sighs when he says that to her, one night when they're watching some paint-by-numbers true crime show.
It's not stupid, she says.
Mom, come on, he says. No one actually died.
You think someone dying is the only time you're allowed to grieve? She says, like she's about to disabuse him of that notion.
I'm just saying.
Val pats the spot on the couch next to him. Taxi jumps up and begins burrowing against his side.
It sounds uber dramatic. I told you I've known it was going to happen sooner or later.
Val, any big life change can cause feelings of grief, she says. I cried myself to sleep for a week when I moved out of home to go to college, and that was something I'd been looking forward to for years. You've lost a lot in the last few months.
Val stares at the TV. It's muted, but he's not really watching it anyway.
His vision is unfocused, blurring a crime scene reenactment into vague smears of color. I know how much that job meant to you, she continues. You've always been passionate about skating. Maybe you should think about actually doing some skating again, now that you have the time.
Skating's not cool anymore, Val says. And because it's not cool, there's no competitions, and without any competitions, what's even the point?
Your passion for skating didn't come just from winning. She reaches over to squeeze his shoulder. I know it's complicated for you, but maybe some of that grief you're feeling is because you've lost your last connection to something you really cared about.
Val shrugs her hand off his shoulder. Maybe.
Hours later, her words are still rattling around in his mind. Unable to sleep, he pushes open his bedroom window and hangs halfway out it to smoke, listening to Taxi's snores and the faint rumble of traffic. It sucks that he lost his swanky downtown apartment. It sucks that most of his coolest stuff is now in boxes in the garage. It sucks that he's spending his evenings slobbed on the couch with his dog, watching reruns of ER with his mom. None of it sucks like losing skating, though. He can still remember the hot, angry shame of being kicked off X-Blades in front of the Nationals crowd. Yeah, he'd made some pretty fucking stupid choices that day, but the reaction was so disproportionate, especially given that Brink had also cheated. Nobody had wanted to listen to Val about that, though. They had their story and they were sticking to it. Val was an asshole, unworthy of the sport, with no hope of redemption. He couldn't change, and they weren't going to give him the chance. Small wonder he'd wanted to make a dumpster fire out of all of his skating gear. He hadn't, though. He'd kept all of it, cleaned and packed away in a single box at the bottom of his closet. Really, he should just get rid of it. Sell it for a quick buck to some collector out in bumfuck, or maybe even dump it in the trash. It's junk. He hasn't skated in years. He should just walk away. Val sees the box the next morning when he's getting ready to take Taxi out for a run. He pauses a moment, then zips on his windbreaker and grabs Taxi's leash. The box stays in his closet. Val throws himself into job listings. There's sweet fuck all, but at least it's better than wallowing around the house. After several days of combing through various websites and even, God save him, the help wanted page of the Penny Saver, he has a list of not too terrible options. Ideally, he wants to get the fuck out of LA. Slim as the pickings are, there are three options he strikes off his long list for being based in the city. He knows that wanting to escape LA is kind of backwards. People usually escape to the city, not from it. Besides, he likes his mom. He likes spending time with Taxi. Most days, he doesn't mind living at home. But when it comes down to it, the shithole where you grew up is still the shithole where you grew up. Doesn't matter if it's LA or Timbuk fucking too. Staying here means a daily life speckled with reminders of things he'd rather forget. The park where he broke his wrist, the Target where he got busted shoplifting, the street where Chrissy dumped him, the lot where the X-Blades warehouse used to be, the pier where Brink humiliated him in front of everyone, the beach where Val ruined his skating career forever. Seriously, fuck LA. Unfortunately, if he wants to get the hell out of here, he's going to need a stopgap job to help rack up some cash before he can leave. Which is why, about two-thirds of the way down his list is the job at the cafe that Brink mentioned. The dishwasher one. Obviously, he's way overqualified for it, and the pay is garbage. And he'll have to deal with Brink. But money is money, and anyway, he probably won't even need to consider it. With a buffed-up resume, the offers will be rolling in. He grabs his laptop and strikes out on his coffee run. There's a free table at the cafe, out on the patio where Taxi can sit at his feet and he can smoke. And Val boots up the laptop while he waits for his drink. It's been absolutely ages since he updated this thing. The document is abysmal, thin even by the standards of a 25-year-old. He's got his work cut out for him. His coffee arrives, along with a bowl of water for Taxi. Val cracks his knuckles. Time to spin some bullshit. An hour slips by. There's one last mouthful of coffee left in his cup. Val finishes it, wishing he could justify ordering another. If he can't get work, he should at least sit on his savings. He can't give up coffee, though. Even if it means he has to ask Brink every damn day to make it for him. Order up! Speak of the devil. Val looks up. His empty coffee cup has been replaced with a fresh one, and there's a plate with a pizza bagel sitting next to it. Across the table, Brink drops into the vacant seat. I didn't order this, Val says. You've been sitting out here all morning, and you really expect me to believe you aren't hungry? Brink has his own pizza bagel and a large mug of coffee. Eat it before it goes cold. Val glares at him, his deep-seated dislike warring with the growl in his midriff. Brink tilts his head.
You not like olives?
Vel loves olives. Resentfully, he takes a bite of the bagel.
Brink smirks at him and sips his coffee.
What are you doing out here anyway?
I'm on my break, Brink says.
Thought I'd grace you with my presence.
Gross.
What are you working on?
Vel takes a drink of his coffee while he decides how to answer. He sets his cup back on its saucer.
Resume.
Brink shoots him a look. Half smile, raised eyebrow.
Not teasing, exactly.
Maybe pleased?
Yeah?
Vel screws up his face at him.
What's your point?
Brink shrugs, looks away.
You thought any more about what I said the other week? About how we need a dishwasher?
Vel snorts. Like I want to be elbows deep in greasy dishwater for an 8-hour shift.
You got much of a choice, bro?
Brink says around a mouthful of bagel.
Hey, you ever thought about coaching?
Coaching? Vel gives him a blank look. Coaching what?
Brink rolls his eyes with his whole upper body.
Coaching what? He laughs.
Dude, skating!
Vel turns back to his laptop screen.
Nobody skates anymore.
I do, Brink says. Pete and Gabby and Jordy, too.
Nobody cool skates anymore,
Vel says, stabbing at his keyboard.
Everyone boards now.
Nah, man. Brink leans towards him over the table. I got like a dozen kids I coach down at the pit twice a week. It's wicked fun.
God damn it.
The idea that Andy fucking Brinker still gets to make money off skating by having a bunch of snot-nosed kids run around after him, eating up all that soul skating crap, makes Vel angry enough to spit poison. No wonder the sport is dying.
What makes it even worse is that Vel knows Brink would be a killer coach.
Before he can pick a fight, Taxi stands to stretch. Brink lights up when he sees her.
And who is this beautiful creature?
At the sound of his voice, Taxi's tail starts to wag. Vel carefully counts to 10 in his head before saying,
"This is Taxi."
He keeps his tone as neutral as possible.
"She's a very good girl.
Can I pet her?" Vel is about to say no just to spite him. But then he looks at Taxi's huge, dark eyes, and Brink trying to make the same expression with his own sky blue eyes. And to his eternal shame, Val's chest does something weird and wibbly. He swallows, grimacing.
Fine, whatever.
Vel sneaks looks at them while he finishes off his bagel. Taxi has got her paws up on Brink's knees, and Brink is laughing, letting her lick his face while he scrubs at her shoulders and sighs vigorously.
"You're such a good girl,"
Brink coos.
"Just the best girl ever, aren't you? Aren't you?"
Ugh. Like, she is the best girl ever, but still, barf.
"You got a dog?" Vel asks.
"Oh, man, I wish," Brink grins at him. "But I worked at a dog grooming parlor in high school."
"Oh," the memory flares like a struck match. "Pup and Suds."
"Yeah, you remembered."
"What? No, I mean," Vel shoves his empty plate away.
"Not deliberately. Mostly I remember how lame you losers looked in those janky shirts."
Brink smirks. "Losers, huh?" he says. "Pretty sure we whooped your asses."
Val's temper snaps. "What are you doing here?"
"I work here," Brink says breezily.
"Here at my table."
For some reason, Brink looks genuinely startled.
"I just thought we could hang out."
"What, like we're friends?"
Vel says. "Are you going to invite all your little soul skater buddies and make me learn whatever lame group handshake you've invented so we can all sit around and make friendship bracelets and cry about cat videos?"
Brink is, for once, dumbstruck. About half a dozen emotions flick through his eyes in as many seconds. Disbelief, frustration, disappointment, until he lands on anger. He stands, snatching up his coffee mug. "You know what, Val?" he says. "You need to grow the fuck up." Val scowls at Brink's retreating back as he stalks inside. "Jerk," Val mutters. Taxi watches her new friend leave, then turns back to Val. He knows, logically, that she can't give him a reproachful look. She's a dog, for crying out loud. But he still shrinks in his chair at her expression. Well, he is. Unmoved by this, Taxi huffs and drops on top of his feet. Val returns to his resume, trying not to feel like he just lost an argument to a dog. Someone is clearly fucking with Val, because the first place he gets an interview request from is the cafe. Which, fine, money is money. But like, what was the point of spending all that time and money going to college if he can't even get a job in his field? It's not like he did some weird artsy thing that no one cares about. He's got a BCom, and working at Carnage gave him a bunch of relevant work experience. Washing dishes 20 hours a week for minimum wage is so English major of him. The interview goes well. Nick, the cafe manager, basically offers Val the job on the spot. Val swallows his pride and takes it, even though Brink is about 10 feet away cleaning the espresso machine and can definitely hear absolutely every word Val and Nick are saying. After the interview wraps up, Val wanders out into the parking lot behind the cafe. He dumps his backpack on the ground and lights a cigarette. The idea of working under Brink makes Val want to turn his skin inside out. He takes a deep breath and remembers the money. Even if he's a shift supervisor, Brink mostly seems to work front of house. Val will probably be able to avoid him most of the time. His phone rings. "Hey, Mom. How'd the interview go?" she says. "Good," he says, leaning back against the wall of the building. "I pretty much got it." "That's great." She's genuinely pleased for him. "It's not that big a deal," he says. "It's just like washing dishes and crap." "Well, I'm taking you out for dinner anyway," she says. "Do you want to meet at home or should I pick you up?" "Dinner out just for landing a crappy job like this?" "How long do you think you'll be?" he says, frowning. 20 minutes, maybe half an hour." "Just pick me up. I can wait." "All right, I'll be there soon." They hang up. Val stashes his phone, still frowning. Why is she making such a fuss? Across the other side of the parking lot is a kid's playground. There's a group of grade schoolers clamoring around on the jungle gym, yelling at each other in the dying evening light. Val watches them idly. The back door of the cafe swings open and Brink emerges, carrying a large trash bag. He doesn't notice Val until he's tossed the bag up into the dumpster. When he does spot him, he stops in his tracks. Val eyes him warily. After a moment's thought, Brink walks over. "You still here?" he says. "Nope," Val says. "You're imagining things." Brink grins. "I just thought you'd be gone home by now." "I'm getting a ride." "You didn't bring your skates?" Val turns away from him, his gaze back on the playground. "I don't skate anymore." "What? Wait, are you serious?" Brink's genuine surprise needles at Val. "Why?" Val crouches to stub his cigarette out on the asphalt. "You forget the part where I got kicked off my team for being a dirty cheater?" "Well, yeah, but..." There's a pause. "I don't know. I figured you would have kept skating. Maybe started up again later." "No point," Val says flatly. "I couldn't compete." "So? Val, for real? I mean, you needed a real attitude adjustment, but you were still one of the best skaters in the country." Val stands. "Not like I could prove it after that." he says. Anyway, what do you care? My loss was your gain.
Brink frowns at him.
Do you really believe that?
Oh, right, as if you don't,
Val says, voice dripping with scorn.
I don't know, man, Brink says, throwing up his hands. This guy is a cartoon character. I kind of feel like when someone that good quits at the top of their game, everyone loses.
Val snorts. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Why? Brink demands.
All right, you couldn't compete the rest of the season. Why didn't you, I don't know, teach others or plan an epic comeback or do the exhibition circuit? How is it that your only option was quit?
The question hangs between them like one of Taxi's rancid dog farts.
Val can't even look at Brink, let alone answer him.
From the playground, the long, keening noise of a child winding up for a tantrum cuts through the air.
A car pulls into the lot. It is, thank God, Mom's Navy hatchback.
My ride's here, Val says. He grabs his bag and doesn't glance at Brink as he leaves.
Who's that you were talking to? His mom says, as he closes the door behind him.
Just one of the baristas, Val says. Where were you thinking for dinner?
He looks familiar, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, Val buckles his belt. Blonde guys with McBangs are a dime a dozen around here.
She hums thoughtfully. Then she says, I was thinking Chinese. Are you happy with Madame Tui's?
All his troubles vanish at the thought of Madame Tui's beef brisket hot pot.
Yeah, that works.
Val's at the pit, or maybe it's the X-Blades warehouse, because there's an overhead cover and the ramps are way taller. But there's also graffiti splashed on the back wall, and one side of the park is open to the ocean. He's at the combination pit, X-Blades warehouse, Venice skate park, or something, whatever. The more important thing is the sick Savannah grind he's pulling at the top of the highest ramp. It lasts the whole length of the coping, and at the end he's sailing back down the ramp and up the other side. His arm stretches as he pulls an invert and twists in midair. There's something odd about gravity that prods at his instincts, but it doesn't matter, because the trick is perfect and he's already skating down the plywood like it's glass. Next thing, he's kicked up on the couches at the top of the ramps, an ocean breeze on his sweaty face. He can see other skaters and boarders in the bowl from up here. They look like little action figures on boards no larger than tech decks. He's on top of his world. Nothing could be sweeter.
What's up, man? Brink appears, slapping Val on the shoulder.
Dude, that was a sick run.
What'd you expect? Val says smugly. You said yourself that I'm the best.
Yeah, I gotta say that. Brink cracks open his drink bottle and starts pouring water in and over his face.
Gotta respect you in public.
Let's see you do better, Val says.
Brink raises an eyebrow at him. In a blink, he's leaning over Val, one hand braced on the back of the couch, one knee pressed into the seat next to Val's thigh.
Yeah, he mutters. Water drips off the point of his bangs and lands on Val's cheek.
You gonna make me big shot?
Val grabs the front of Brink's t-shirt, twisting it in his fist.
Shithead, he says.
The kiss is deep and hot, and it doesn't stop even as Brink climbs into his lap and starts working his hands up under Val's shirt. Val tightens his arms around Brink's waist, needing them to be closer. There's a part of Val's brain that is going, DEFCON Major. There are people around. They're going to be seen. Jimmy is going to kick him off the team the second he finds out about this. But Val is already shoving Brink down onto the couch, grinding their hips together and dragging his tongue up his neck, tasting the salt of his sweat. Brink lets out a
A noise right against Val's ear, part whine, part gasp, that makes Val feel utterly deranged. The next thing he knows, Brink is running a hand up his thigh, under the leg of his shorts and his boxers, and Val jerks awake. There's a yelp at his feet. He's kicked Taxi. His heart is hammering in his chest. He throws back the blankets. With a thump on the floor, Taxi flees for her own bed. Val's drenched in sweat. The air in his room is close and muggy. He crawls up the bed and shoves the window above his headboard open. Cool air rushes in. He sighs, dropping his forehead to the sill. What the fuck was that? The dream is fading quickly, but the impression it leaves is vivid. He was skating, and then next thing... There's a fetid, swampy feeling in his mouth and pits and groin. He checks the time on his phone. 3:09 a.m. Fuck it. He climbs out of bed and heads for the bathroom. He strips down and gets into the shower, running the water just shy of warm. It flows in rivers over his hot skin, and Val closes his eyes, letting out a long, slow breath. Sex dreams are normal. Very normal. They're just not usually so. He isn't normally dreaming about. Val presses the heels of his hands against his eyes. He's not gay. He would know by now if he was. He's hooked up with plenty of chicks, even dated a couple. And the only reason it was easier when he was drunk or high or both is because everything is easier when he's drunk or high or both. Okay, he hasn't had a girlfriend in a while, but before Carnage folded, he didn't have the time. He was always too busy schmoozing sponsors and trying to convince them to pour thousands of dollars into a dying sport. And on that topic, he's definitely nothing like that old millionaire creep who put his hand on Val's thigh and said he would sponsor them, certainly, if only Val was to be personally involved with the arrangement. Val had told him to fuck off and die. Okay, there was that one time in sophomore year of college when the chiseled Adonis weirdo from his econ class had sucked his face for like 2 full hours at some dumb mid-year mixer. And those times he'd gotten high with a bunch of his guy friends and Val hadn't said no when he was offered a blowjob. But it's not like any of that went anywhere. And everyone knows watching gay porn doesn't make you gay. That had been curiosity, mainly. And if that doesn't count, then sex dreams definitely don't count. Dreams are always weird. He shuts off the water. This is fine. This doesn't mean anything. All of it has been washed down the drain with dirty water and soap scum. It's not going to be a problem. Toweled off and limp, Val collapses back into bed. Thankfully, he falls asleep immediately and doesn't dream again.